To the Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy, and we're glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. I'm just going to ask you to strap on your seatbelt, batten down your hatch. We've got a goat-roping, toe-stomping show that even the devil will be afraid to match. Praise Yahweh. This is Ground Truth Zero, and we're going to come at you tonight very strong. So we're going to ride a quick horse through the scriptures tonight. We've got a lot of scriptures to cover as usual, and we're glad that we've got you and our listening audience. We invite you to call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. Praise Yahweh. Jacob's a bloodline. That's who we're interested in tonight, and them only. We go only to the lost sheep according to the commandment of Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to stay with that, praise Yahweh, verses 4 and 5. And we are determined to seek out the sheep and to save them in spite of their blindness, in spite of their stubbornness. As you very well know, Jacob Israel is a rebellious and stubborn people. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to share internationally tonight the truth that we haven't heard on the radio. So this is going to be virgin truth. Coming down, we believe, from the Holy Spirit, and we ask you to, especially if you can record this message, it might be very valuable to you and give you an understanding of the truth that will make your soul acceptable when it goes before the final judgment, Yahweh, our eternal Creator, whom we worship. Now, we're going to, like I said, we're going to cover a large amount of scriptures here in here tonight. Praise Yahweh. We're going to Genesis 49, where we left off Friday night. We're going to continue our message. So while you're going to the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, we will start in the 48th for our message. And the title of our message tonight, if you'd like to write it down, this is going to be Astounding Truth. Coming at you with all factual scriptures, we're going to systematically convert the whole week into exploring the mysteries of what we're talking about here tonight. So tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, remember that we'll have program number 2 in this series, that Christ was not a Jew. Now, that may seem astounding. That may seem very strange to your ears, but the truth is Christ was not a Jew. We've been led to believe he was by the evil concision who have sought to bring Christ out of the tribe of Judah. That teaching is erroneous, incorrect, and we will prove it tonight, I believe, beyond a shadow of doubt. Now, to do that, we've got to systematically go back and uncover that which has been changed or covered, and we are tonight going to utter things that's been kept secret from the foundation of the world. These are the truths that are to be revealed in the last days, and we believe that we're called as a purposed, chosen one to bring forth the revelations that you will hear tonight on this radio program. We're on truth, and it's very appropriate to sharing the truth with the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to Genesis, and we're going to the 49th chapter, and we're going to read the 10th verse. Now, remember, our message will concern where did Christ come from? Of whose seed or whose seed line did Christ come from? Was he a Jew, or was he an Israelite? That's a $64 question tonight. Was he, in fact, a Galilean, as he was known in the New Testament, accused of being a Galilean, and rightfully so, he didn't deny it. And also, we're going to prove that every disciple that remained true to him was Galilean. Now, there was one that followed him, Judas. And if you look at the Hellenization of the word Judas, it's Greek, and it's Hellenized, meaning that the original name was Judah or Yehuda. So everyone remained faithful as Benjamites. We'll see that, Galileans. We'll prove that in the scriptures. We have the text to prove it. We're going to the 10th verse, the scepter. Strong's number 7626. I would like you to look it up. Shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Strong's number 7886, Shiloh. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, the scepter, never the birthright. Joseph had the birthright. We're going to prove that in the same chapter. And we're going to start here in verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Branch. Bible talks a lot about the branch. You need to study the scriptures in reference to branch. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Now, this is a perfect type. Joseph is the only perfect type of Christ outside of David. These are the only two men that you could type. And Joseph was the perfect one. David was a man of war, which in the latter stage, Christ will become the war in David, because he's coming back in a flame of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not or obey not the gospel. Praise Yahweh. But his bow abode in strength. Verse 24. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, for your information, you must mark this scripture in the Bible. This is of the utmost importance. His bow abode in strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty El, God of Jacob. From hence, or from Joseph, is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, there is a prophetic utterance that the stone shepherd, Christ, the branch that will come forth, would be out of the bloodline of Joseph. Now, if that's the prophetic utterance of Genesis 49, if Christ failed to come from the seed of Joseph, then this prophetic utterance from the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoken through Jacob, through prophecy, he was a prophet, would be an error. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to prove tonight that the scepter did, in fact, depart from Judah and go back to its rightful owner, Christ, who sits upon the throne of the birthright tribe of Joseph. Now, we believe, and we'll prove it tonight, because we've waited for his salvation. This truth's been a long time coming. 40 years of my ministry, and now I am in the last 10 years of my ministry, of where this revelation has been coming forth for the last 10 years. Now, it came by divine inspiration through Jacob, our father. All you got to do is put the pieces of the puzzle known as the ability to rightly divide or separate truth from fiction, and then we rightly divide the word of truth and put everything in order, line upon line, precept upon precept. Now we've got something here going here. The scepter has to depart from Judah, and Christ, the branch that would come through the prophetic utterance of Jacob, would be the stone shepherd coming from Joseph, according to the 24th verse. From hence, or from Joseph, is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are at ground truth. zero, and we're going to prove by going into the geographical and the archaeological excavations of science, we're going to prove that Rachel died in Bethlehem, Ephratah. She did not die in Bethlehem, Judea, and neither is she buried, as thus saith the Jews, those money-grubbing, lying scoundrels called Jews of Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9. They're liars because they love a lie. They love a lie because they are of their father, the devil. And the works of their father, they will do. Now, we're going to look at the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, notice as we read here, and so verse 6, and so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. Now, the word Bethel means house of El. Beth is house, and El is El or Elohim, the house of God, if you will. He and all the people that were with him, and there he built an altar and called the place El, Beth, El, God's house of El or Elohim, because there El, God, appeared unto him when he fled from the voice or from the face of his brother. Now we're going over to the 16th verse as we establish that Jacob was in Bethel, and it's called Bethlehem Ephratah. We're gonna see that just in a moment here. Praise Yahweh. Now notice this. Verse 16, and there journeyed Jacob from Bethel, and there was but a little way that he came to Ephrah. Now, isn't it strange that Ephrah is the key to the first letters of the name of the birthright chosen son, Ephraim? Do you suppose that this had anything to do with the birthright son, Ephraim, being named Ephraim, because the territory that was chosen to be given to him, the son of Joseph, the birthright inheritor, would come from the territory of Ephraim or Ephrah. Now, the Jews have skillfully and masterfully made a city and named it Bethlehem, Judea, to which all of the New Testament scriptures refers that Christ would come out of Bethlehem, Judea. But is that truth? Or has the lying pen of the scribes, we're talking about those lying Jewish scribes, according to the scriptures, that they will lie and they will think to change the scriptures? We're warned in the scriptures repeatedly that these lying scribes, Christ had nothing for these lying dogs, these scribes. He rather rebuked them and called them scribes and Pharisees that would lie. Here we go. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass that when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, and she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Ben-Yamin. And Rachel died. Here it is. Mark it in your Bible, Genesis 35:19. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is in Bethlehem. So Bethlehem, Ephrah, and Bethlehem, Judea are two different geographical locations, and we can prove it beyond any shadow of a doubt. Now, quickly, we're going back to the scriptures, and we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10. We'll prove that Rachel's grave was not in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, let me give you a scenario here. Let's say that you hop a flight to Israel, and you're a tourist, and you've got greenbacks in your pocket, of course, because traveling there is not cheap, ladies and gentlemen. And let's suppose that you're going with one of these Judeo-Christian groups that has this little slick willy preacher along, and he's going to tell you, as they design the tour, and they get these guides, and they're going to take you to these favorite biblical, they say, in lies, because they don't understand the scriptures. They fail to search the scriptures before they go. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says for you to search the scriptures, for wherein you think you have eternal life, but you have none. Now, that is very important for you to do that. Now, here we are. We're going to tell you that they will take you over to Bethlehem, Judea, to show you where Rachel and Jacob's tomb is buried. Right for the free information that I have that will show you that that's what they do. I know that's what they do. I've had people, I've never been there myself, but I know of folks that's gone, and they'll take you down to Bethlehem, Judea. Because I've asked them, I said, when they show you Rachel's grave, where they take you? Oh, that's down in Bethlehem, Judea, where Christ was born and where Rachel died. Oh, really? That's what they said. Well, that's what they say. But remember, they are liars, and the gullible sheep swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. But you better strap on your seatbelt and batten down the hatch. We're going to have this goat roping, goat stomping. We're not going to spare your toes here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to step on your toes and stomp them real good, and we're going to dare the devil to come out from under the porch and bark at this revelational doctrine, praise Yahweh. Notice now, we'll prove that Rachel's grave is not in Bethlehem, Judea. Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it up on the head of Saul, and kissed him and said, is it not because Yahweh hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed, here's the key, ladies and gentlemen, when thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zazal, and they shall say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father has left the care of the asses and sorrow for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Now, remember, he said, go to the border of Benjamin. Now, if you look at Benjamin's border, and then you go to Zazal here at that, then it's on the territory of Ephraim. Remember, Rachel died, it said, a little way out of Bethlehem Ephratah in Bethlehem. So Bethlehem Ephratah is not in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, why do they mysteriously take all references to maps, modern maps? Why did the Jews remove Bethlehem Ephratah? There's no mention of it in your Bible in a map that you can see in the map system of the Holy Land, but you'll find only one Bethlehem, Bethlehem, Judea, when in fact this Bethlehem is the false Bethlehem that the Jews have hatched up and plotted to bring Christ out of the seed of Judah instead of out of the seed of Joseph, the birthright, rightful owner. And here is the proof that the grave of Rachel is in the border of Benjamin. Now, if you look on the map, Benjamin's territorial border, if you will go to the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua and go back to the 15th chapter of the book of Joshua, you'll see the proportions that was allotted each tribe, and Benjamin and Ephraim was allotted the territory of where Benjamin and Joseph were allotted the territory of where Rachel's grave is, not Bethlehem, Judea. Lie number one, we've proven that they lie by saying, ladies and gentlemen, the bones, if there's any bones in the grave where they show you a marker for Rachel, it is not Rachel's bones, believe me, according to the good old King James Bible. Praise Yahweh. Now, let's look at a few scriptures here in the bloodline lineage of our ancestors here. We're particularly going to look in Genesis 48, and we're going to look at verse 7. We'll be back shortly after the break in here, just very shortly. Stay tuned. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy. Christ was not a Jew. the Jews are liars. Of course they would want to steal the birthright, just as they exiled Joseph from out of the house and took his birthright. They actually took the scepter. He took the birthright with him. We're going to examine in detail how this great conspiracy was hatched up right in the house of Israel. So, you see, our foes are those of our own household, according truth to the scriptures, praise Yahweh. And we're going to tell you a little bit about how that the Jews have hid the revelation that the birthright belonged to Joseph. How, if the stone shepherd was to come from the tribe of Joseph, according to Genesis 49, verse 24, and that the scepter itself would depart and no longer leave Judah with anything to hold on to is in king royalty, for birthright privileges and scepter would both be given back to the rightful owner, and that was Joseph. And that would only come when the representative of Joseph's flesh would be made possible upon the earth. Now, we're going over to 2 Chronicles. Again, we're going to read this. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. Now, we're going to give you the birthright privileges here and show you the word changes from given to prevail. Jacob, when he was prophesying to Judah, the prophecy was that he would prevail over his brethren. That means he would rule over them through sheer strength. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright, meaning the first son, was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. There you go. Now the stone shepherd prophecy of Genesis chapter 49, folks, this is laid dormant. This is laid unveiled for hundreds and hundreds of years, save for the last days, that Joseph's children could raise up with the truth, and we could give Israel hope that the Jews are not God's chosen people in reality, but that the people of Israel, the saints, the sheep, the lost sheep of Israel. You say, oh, they were never lost. Well, that's hogwash. Praise Yahweh. We've got scriptures to indicate that in 721, they were exiled and they became a wandering tribes throughout the earth. That is all documented history that Israel in 721, now 165 years later, the true blues, Judah, the good figs, they went up to Babylon and only, listen to me, there was a separation of good figs and bad. And so then, most of those that took over in Palestine to stay and remain behind were the evil Nakash, the Pharisees that were posing as Yahweh's chosen Yehudim. They are from the tribe of Yehudim. They do have a place in the promise of the covenant, praise Yahweh. So then not all of Judah is Judah. There is impostures in the camp. And we gave you Friday the evidence of how that the serpent's bloodline got mixed into the house of Israel. Here we are now, given to the sons of Joseph. Ephraim had the birthright, ladies and gentlemen. The genealogy, here we go now. You see, I have debated these pastors. I've debated the worldwide church. I've debated the Church of Christ. I've debated the Baptists and the Lutheran, the Quakers and the Shakers and all the undertakers, praise Yahweh, that would want to come against this truth. And this truth will stand when the world's on fire because it's forever written and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. You cannot go to the genealogy because the Pharisees of Matthew and Luke have changed the genealogy to where they don't even agree themselves upon the genealogy. Well, we're going to get the genealogy and prove to you in the next five shows that we're going to do on the subject that you're going to be amazed that Christ was, in fact, an Ephraimite from the bloodline of Joseph and that that would bring David into being an Ephraimite as well. And we'll prove that that David was not a Jew, as some believe he was. Praise Yahweh. We're going to prove his bloodline beyond any shadow of a doubt. Now, but Judah prevailed above his brethren, and out of him came the chief ruler, that's Judah, and the succeeding Pharisees and Sadducees of the bloodline. We'll write for our information how the snake got in the house. But the birthright. See, the birthright was never Judah's. Therefore, Christ could not come out of the tribe of Judah because Judah did not have the birthright. Only Christ could fulfill the role of assuming the eternal birthright privileges, and that was from the bloodline of Joseph. Well, we've got staggering evidence. Tomorrow night we will get into the genealogy breakdown and prove to you that Christ was an Ephraimite, that David himself was an Ephraimite, and these lion ten of the scribes, and this endless genealogy where the birthright cannot be reckoned from, because Yahweh, Shua, when he came, he warned us through the Apostle Paul to not be caught up in endless genealogy. Here it is, even in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, that the verse 1 and 2, genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. So you can't term the word genealogy to type Christ out of the genealogy of the New Testament. It won't fit. It will not fit the evidence of the old parchment. And we're going to get into that and give you some astounding revelations. Now notice this. Take this scripture down. There was a stone that followed Israel. In the wilderness and in the land of Egypt, when they came out, there was a certain tribe that carried this precious stone that Jacob slept on. It's called the Stone of Stone. Ladies and gentlemen, it has just recently returned back out of the Manasseh camp of England back to the Joseph camp of Scotland. Praise Yahweh, we're very excited. The Stone of Stone has gone home. And yet, praise Yahweh, here we go with the stone. Exodus chapter 28, verse 21. Yahweh told Moses to strike the rock. And now then, what rock was that? Was it just a simple rock, as we assume in our carnal minds, as we go through the scriptures to find that it was just a certain rock upon the mountain that he ran up there and struck randomly, or he picked out a stone? Oh, we don't think so. The stone followed them. And we're going to prove that stone was the birthright stone, the seal, the anointed stone of Bethel, Ephratah, that followed them. And only the sons of Joseph were qualified to carry the birthright stone of Bethel, where the stone shepherd himself would eventually come from, known in the 12th chapter of John, verse 59, as the city of Ephraim, where Christ returned to before his death, and the last city he visited. He didn't go back to Bethlehem, Judea. According to John chapter 7, verse 1, they had a warrant in Judah to kill him, but not in Bethlehem, Ephratah. That was his hometown. He was a Galilean, and we'll prove that beyond all shadow of doubt. Now, remember, Exodus chapter 28, verse 21. He said to Moses, strike the rock. And Moses proceeded to strike the rock. Now then, they went to another location, and again the stone was called for. The sons of Joseph, they brought forth the stone, and it was carried between. There's evidence that this stone of stone today came from the territory of Bethel, where the rock formations only match the black stone that is there embodied in the Stone of Stone. So then we know that this stone was actually a relic from that geographical area. The sons of Joseph carried it. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. Notice, if you don't pay attention to the scriptures instruction of Yahweh, sometimes they run together and you get caught up in a habit and you think he said one thing and he actually said another. How many have ever called in Genesis 49:10 that the scepter would depart from Judah when the Messiah came? Now, that's what happened, and that's why the Jews killed him, because when he came, he told them that the birthright and the scepter belonged to the sons of Joseph, to which he claimed kinship. And they laughed him to scorn and debated him in the 7th chapter and the 40th verse, where the great debate rages. We'll get into that later on, praise Yahweh. But we're going to attend here to Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8. Yahweh said, remember, he said, strike the stone in 28:21 Exodus. But here he changes, the terminology is changed. He said, Moses, speak to the rock. Now, why was he to speak to the rock? Remember, the first time he struck it, Christ was not on the rock. Remember, the second time he struck that stone, Christ, the invisible Christ, was standing on the stone. In reality, Moses struck Christ upon the rock. Now, here we go. We'll prove that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read verse 4. And all did drink of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, here it is, and that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Moses struck Christ standing upon the birthright inheritor stone. Therefore, the Pharisees have had a spirit against Christ, and they have sought to kill him. They're antichrist, as we proved in our message of last week on Truth Radio, right for the tape. The antichrist, praise Yahweh, who they really are. And today we call them God's chosen people that's blinded. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not one verse of scripture anywhere that the Jews are blind. And the fact, they're the only ones at this point, it seems, that have eyes to see, and their eyes are full of evil, and their mouth is full of guile, and they speak lies. Praise Yahweh. Stone of stone, the stone that followed them was Christ, and Christ was on that rock. And this is the stone shepherd that was smitten for the sins. This is symbolic, but it actually happened in reality. When he did come, they killed him. Praise Yahweh. Now we're going back to Judges chapter 4. We're going to talk a little bit about the Ephraimites. Glory to Yahweh. Now, notice in the scriptures that the scriptures will speak for themselves when we use the scriptures that are rightly divided. That's what the text means. To rightly divide the scriptures, Judges chapter, let's go to chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 4. Then Jephaniah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, you Gideonites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And so, when they slayed him, the Gideonites took the passage of Jordan before the Ephraimites. And it was so that when those Ephraimites which escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? And he said, no. So, ladies and gentlemen, Ephraimites are from the tribe of Ephraim. That is established proof. We could give you maybe 10 or 12 more scriptures. We won't bother at this time because we're on a fast track here. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Let's prove what the genealogy has done here in Luke's gospel of chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to find that Christ is reputed to come from the seed of David. Now, everybody assumes that David was a Jew. Well, that's incorrect. David's ancestors were not from the tribe of Judah. And this is the amazing ground truth of zero that will fascinate even the best of ministers, praise Yahweh, for their listening ears. We're teaching ministers tonight that only have preached in part. This is the rest of the story, praise Yahweh. And if you are a layman, you take note, and you will be the child guiding these spiritual fathers that have the blinders of ignorance, fear, and superstition upon them, because they preach for filthy lucre. Praise Yahweh. Now let's read the 26th verse. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee. Named Nazareth. Remember, in the New Testament times, names change. They're not the ancient names of the old cities. And here's where the deceit begins to be exposed. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Joseph of the house of David. Now, isn't that interesting that this man's name was Joseph, and he was out of the house of David. Praise Yahweh. Verse 32. After the prophecies that she would conceive in the womb, the angel said, this is angel's words, he shall be great and shall be called the son of the highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father, David. So David, in a sense, was the genetic father of the flesh man of Christ. So then, now we've got this. Now, if we can prove that David was not a Jew, then we've got the whole text here nailed down and the door shut. Now, quickly, we're going to Acts chapter 2, verse 30. We're going to have to wrap it because we're running out of time. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that is of David, that he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne. Of the seed of David, Christ would sit upon the birthright throne. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ was a Jew, he doesn't qualify for the birthright. But was David a Jew? Let's find out quickly now. I'll close it out. I've got time for this one. 1 Samuel 17, we'll find out that David's descendants were not Jews. 17 and 12. Now David was the son of that Ephratite, remember that's from Ephraim, of Bethlehem, says Judea here, but that's where they changed the text. It should be Bethlehem Ephratah, as you have already known, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the men went among the men of old, a man in the days of Saul. Now, remember, this David was the son of that Ephratite, Jesse. And, ladies and gentlemen, when we come to tomorrow night's lesson, we will prove that David was an Ephraimite. If David was an Ephraimite and Christ would sit through the flesh of his genetics upon the throne forever, then Christ himself would have had to have been a Galilean Ephraimite, and that's exactly what he was. We're at Ground Truth Zero, and we're coming at you tonight. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're Thank you.